Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Reading from the New American Standard, reads, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. The King James Version reads, verse 3, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the Phillips translation there in verse 3 reads, praise be to God for giving us through Christ every possible spiritual benefit as citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Here in chapter 1, after we read Paul's short greetings and then his introduction, as you begin to read through the first chapter, verse 3 through 14 can be summed up as a concise description by the Apostle Paul of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our versions of the Bible, verses 3 through 14 are broken up into multiple sentences. But in the original Greek, it's actually just one run-on 202-word sentence. Paul can't stop sharing his excitement about the gospel and everything that is a believer's and what belongs to us as a result of being in Christ Jesus. If you remember right, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus while he was a prisoner in Rome. And he begins to pen this, and you have to wonder whether, as he was reflecting on this, he was reflecting upon all the benefits, all the spiritual blessings that are ours, that he had witnessed, that he had been a partaker of. And he just wanted to share all those things. Pastor Ray Steadman wrote this concerning this passage of Scripture. He said, there's an unusual structure in this passage to which I'd like to call your attention. From verse 3 through verse 14 in the Greek text, not in the English, you have one complete, unbroken sentence filled with many adjectival phrases brought in to amplify and enrich it. If you want to get the effect of it, take a deep breath and try to read it through with one breath. I couldn't do it. I tried it the other day. I made it through about verse 4 and I was done. You will see how much Paul is crammed into this great sentence. It's almost as though he is taking a walk through a treasure chamber, like those of pharaohs of Egypt, describing what he sees. He starts out with the most immediate and evident facts and tells us what that is. Then something else comes into view and he puts that in. And glory flashes upon glory here until he has this tremendously complicated sentence which includes vast and almost indescribable riches. He goes on to say, you see, there are much more than mere doctrinal ambiguities, mere theological ideas. They are facts, foundational truths which undergird us in every moment of our life. And unless you understand those facts, you can't utilize them, you can't benefit from them. As we read here in verse 3, it's a summary statement of the whole thing, of all the verses that follow. It's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, before we get to anything else in this letter to the church at Ephesus, before we talk about practical things, before we talk about forgiveness and sex and marriage and relationships and controlling our flesh and the church, before we get to any of that, he says, I want you to get something else. I want you to get this first. Is that you are spiritually blessed in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen? Not just a little bit, not just halfway, not occasionally, not when you feel like it. You are blessed in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Nothing's left out. Amen? And we're going to look at those blessings. But before we get into that, we're not going to get to all of them today. But he said, first of all, you have to understand that these blessings are a free gift from God. You don't earn a blessing. You don't work to earn a blessing. You don't achieve a blessing. A blessing is free. Look at Psalm. Hold your place there in Ephesians and turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Everybody doing okay this morning? Psalm 103. I'm excited about sharing these things this morning. This is good stuff. As I was preparing this week, it got me stirred up. It got me excited about the things of God. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his what?
Benefits.
His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities. Who heals some of your diseases. All your diseases, right? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the son of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Hallelujah. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise the Lord. Amen. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Hallelujah. Just some of the benefits. Amen. The benefits of being a child of God. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Paul says, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Everything that God has, all the blessings that God has in the heavenly places is yours. You've been blessed with that. Amen? 2 Peter 1:3 says, for his divine power has granted to us what?
Everything
pertaining to life and to godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. Don't forget all of God's benefits. David writes in the Old Testament. Amen? And he lists all the benefits that come to his mind. Praise the Lord. Paul here in the New Testament, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Amen? Every spiritual endowment that God has for you, you have it.
Hallelujah.
Everything. You're not just skating in, trying to sneak in the back door. You're just not receiving scraps from the table, the stuff that's left over from somebody that God likes better than you, and you're just getting the scraps. No, the Word of God says that you have been blessed by all the spiritual blessings. Here it says in Peter, he has the same thought, that God has given you everything that pertains to life and to godliness. Everything. Everything you need to live your life as a child of God, God has given it to you. He's made it available to you. Praise the Lord. And when you read about that, these blessings are all a free gift. And they're more rich and beautiful than we could ever imagine. They're there for our use. Not just to read through. I guarantee you, everybody in here has read through these scriptures in Ephesians 1, and you've read through them, and you never really stopped to reflect upon them. Well, we're going to stop, and we're going to reflect upon them. It may take us a few weeks, but we're going to reflect upon them, and we're going to look at them, and you will never read through here again in the same way. Amen? Because when you go looking for them, you'll find them. Because a lot of times we think he's just talking and we're just reading his introduction and he's just saying things. But he is pointing out these blessings as we go through this. These blessings are to be applied in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a story about an old Native American who'd become rich because oil had been found on his property. He took all the money he made from the oil as it was being pumped from his property and he put it in a bank. His banker became familiar with the habits that this old man had. Every once in a while, he'd show up at the bank and say to the banker, grass all gone, sheep all sick, water holes dry. And the banker would look at him. He wouldn't say a word. He knew what he wanted to do. So he'd take the old man inside the vault and seat him there. And he'd bring several bags of silver dollars to him and say, these are all yours. The old man would spend about an hour in there looking at his money, stacking up the dollars, counting them. Then he'd come out and say, grass all green, sheep all well, water holes are full. Sounds kind of silly to us, right? Yet in reality, the same is true with so many believers that never tap into the spiritual blessings that are available to them. Amen? Grass all gone. Going through a barren spot. Our money's all gone. We don't have anything. We're just paupers. We're trying to get along. They hear about these blessings. They read about the benefits that we read about. They hear sermons on that. And they never appropriate them in their lives. It's always for somebody else. Just like that older gentleman, they never utilized the resources available to them. He simply just looked at them, reviewed them from time to time, and that was it. They made no difference in his life. He was blessed, he was rich, yet he was still living like a poor man because he never lived by any of the resources that were available to him. We've got all kinds of believers out there who just live like paupers. Because somebody told them Well, as a Christian, you're supposed to be humble, and you're supposed to be poor, and you're supposed to have that. That comes from people that never read the Word of God and appropriated the blessings of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. You want to stay poor and you want to be poor and knock yourself out. I like having money. I've been where I didn't have any money. Anybody ever been there? Amen? I've been there when you're trying to figure out what bill you're going to pay and not pay. Which one's the most urgent because you don't have enough money? Do we buy groceries or do we keep the heat on? Let's just be honest. We've been there. Been there, done that. I don't like that. You can have that copy of the home game. I'm done with it. Amen? Years ago, I got this revelation that my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Amen? That I am a child of God. That all these different blessings that we're going to read here, they became a reality to me. Praise the Lord. That I can have peace. That I can have forgiveness. That I can have joy. That I can have contentment. I can have all those things. Amen? We can read about them. You know, the Puritans used to talk about the gospel as a diamond. If you hold a diamond up to the sun, depending on how you twist it and how you turn it, it's going to reflect a whole different way. Amen? It's one diamond, but it reflects in different ways depending on how you look at it. The same is true with the gospel. It's one message. It's one truth. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. But there are so many aspects and dynamics and blessings that come with it that we miss many times. Amen? We get so locked in on one part. Forgiveness of sins. Going to heaven someday. Having eternal life. That we forget all the other aspects of what Jesus Christ accomplished through His death, through His burial, and through His resurrection. Don't get me wrong, forgiveness of our sins is a big deal. Right? Going to heaven someday, that's a big deal. Having eternal life, we can't comprehend that, but that's a big deal. But if we only place emphasis on one particular aspect of the gospel, we do ourselves a disservice, and we also do a disservice to others. There's so many other parts of the gospel that are just as true, just as powerful, and just as meaningful in our lives. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, is spelling out these spiritual blessings. They're ours in Christ Jesus. There's different sides to the gospel diamond, so to speak. Paul wanted everybody to know about it, and he wanted people to utilize it. As we read through here, there's 8 specific ones that Paul outlines in this passage. As I said, as we go through this message series here, didn't intend for it to be a series, but it's going to be a series. I just warn you right up front. You're going to be able to pick them out. But there's too much here for us just to get a hold of in one day. It'll overwhelm us. If we tried to pack everything in here, we'd be having dinner tonight instead of lunch. Amen? And you'd be overwhelmed. The fact of the matter is, as we read through this, it should overwhelm us. It should blow our minds. It should be like, wow. This is awesome. God's love for you and for me through sending Jesus Christ and making available to us all these spiritual blessings is overwhelming. As we enter this new year, we should remind ourselves anew of these new blessings. Everything that is true about you, if you are a Christian, is in here. If you are in Christ, these are all true about you, not somebody else. They're true about you. Got that? Okay. Say this after me. All these spiritual blessings are mine. God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing because I am in Christ. And I will be a partaker of them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we get to verse 3. And he says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, or in Christ. Verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Hallelujah. The King James Version says in verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The Phillips translation says, for consider what he has done before the foundation of the world, he chose us to become in Christ his holy and blameless children living within his constant care. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The number one spiritual blessing is that he chose you. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God has always existed. And when you think about that, we really can't wrap our mind around that. God, the Creator. Well, who created God? Nobody. God's always been here. God's always existed. He's from eternity past to eternity future. He's here present now. We can't comprehend that. Our little pea-picking minds go into just locked up like your computer trying to download something that's too big, a file that's too big, just lock it up. Amen? We can't think about it. We can't comprehend that whole concept that God is eternal. He always has been, always will be, amen, always is. Amen. Jesus said, I am that I am. Praise the Lord. And Paul says that at some point, before Genesis 1:1, way back here in your, I don't know, what it, your explanation of it, clear back here somewhere, before Genesis 1:1 ever happened, before the beginning, God did something. God looked down through eternity and made a decision that he was going to choose a people for himself. Amen? That's been God's plan all along, to bring together a people for himself. Throughout time, God has always had a chosen people that he declared was him, was his. God was never and has never been caught off guard. He can never be surprised. He's never had to call an emergency meeting in heaven to figure out what's going to happen next. Amen? God has a plan to bring to himself a peculiar, chosen group of people. It was true in the Old Testament with the people of Israel. Yet God's plan was bigger than just one nation. Through the Israelites, a Messiah, Jesus Christ, was to come and redeem those not just of the nation of Israel, but he was to gather together a whole new chosen people for God. Not based on your ethnic identity, but based on your spiritual identity of who you are in Jesus Christ and your faith in Jesus Christ. That was God's plan. Amen. He predestined it to happen. He declared it. If God says something's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen. Amen. So God, before creation, determined, I'm bringing together a people for myself. And he looked down through eternity. Amen. And he says, I'm going to choose Chuck Finzel. I'm going to choose Mike Klein. I'm going to choose Arnie Fife. I'm going to choose Jan Pitzer. I'm going to choose them. They're going to be my people. They're going to be my children. Amen. He has chosen each and every one of us seated here this morning. And if he said that, he's going to accomplish that. Amen. So when Paul says we've been chosen by God, it should bring a peace upon us. We're not striving to get to God. God did everything to bring us to him. He sent Jesus for us. It was his predetermined plan. It was his predetermined counsel. Before he ever formed Adam and Eve, before he ever breathed life into them, he knew he was sending Jesus to reconcile to himself a chosen people. Amen? Hallelujah. Gives us confidence to live our lives with the knowledge that our choice to serve God and accept Christ wasn't just something we decided to do on our own. God was leading you and drawing you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was something that God made available to us before the foundation of the world. That spiritual identity through faith in Christ Jesus is yours because God chose you. Amen. Hallelujah. God chose you. The word chose there is the word eklegomeo ehi. Easy for me to say. I'm not going to say it again. Make choice to choose out in the Strong's. It's a verb. It's an action. Amen. It's the same word. Look at John 15, 16. Hold your place there in Ephesians. One of the spiritual blessings that we enjoy, all the spirit, is that God chose us. This isn't just we decided in ourselves, or we, as the world would say, well, you just needed a spiritual crutch, you needed something to get you along. No, God chose you. He looked down through eternity and he said, I want them to be mine. They're going to be mine. I'm going to have a relationship with them. I'm going to have an eternal relationship with them. Hallelujah. John 15, 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. It's the same thing that Paul's talking about. John 15, 19 says, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Hallelujah. God himself has picked you out. It's no accident that you're sitting here today. It was no accident when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, no matter how many years ago it's been. Amen? May have been so long you forgot about when it happened or how it happened. May have been a child. It doesn't matter. God chose you. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Using this word, it's meant to bring comfort. It's meant to bring hope. It's meant to bring security, joy, and humility. Amen? Same word used here in Acts chapter 1, 2. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. In the same way he picked out those early apostles, he picked you out. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:27. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Say, well, how can that be? You don't know what I was like. If you're witnessing to somebody and sharing with somebody, you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know anything about that. No, I don't. But God does. And guess what? He loves you anyway. Amen? He sent me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Why? Because he's chosen you. He's made a way for you to become a child of God. That will rock somebody's world. If you tell that to them, amen? Say, I've just been sent here because God's chosen you. He looked down through eternity and he chose you to become a child of God. And he sent me to share the gospel with you. What are they going to say to that? Because 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Hallelujah. You may think, how could God use somebody as foolish as me, somebody as unworthy as me, somebody as weak as me, somebody who has failed all these multiple times? Because he looks past all that. Because that's some of his benefits that we read about in Psalm 103, right? Who doesn't hold all those things against you? As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he doesn't see all that. All he sees is Jesus. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. God knew you in your innermost being. He knew all of your brokenness and your sinfulness and in his sovereignty and in his kindness, all before the foundation of the world. He still wanted you to be his child. That's pretty amazing. Amen? Because many of us can look back at that time before we made Jesus the Lord of our life, it's like, ooh. How in the world did God look at me and forgive me of that? Amen? Praise the Lord. This isn't just Paul's theology. Jesus said it. The Apostle Peter calls the church in 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Chosen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Next time the enemy starts trying to make you feel bad and tries to get you to feel bad about yourself, and you're believing God for things and trying to move forward in things, and the enemy's saying, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. How could you deserve that? You can just remind him, I'm chosen by God. I've got the favor of God in my life. Amen. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of here. Hallelujah. Chosen. We looked at this in depth, if you remember back when we were looking at 1 Peter, that the gospel, when we did a complete study on that. But Matthew 20:16 says, so the last shall be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. And we looked at the difference between being called and being chosen. Can lead to a lot of confusion and insecurity on the part of people. I don't feel like I'm chosen. How could God choose somebody and call somebody like me? Well, the word called there is the word kletos, and it's the invitation. God, it's not God's will that any man should perish. God puts the invitation out there. Amen? He puts the invitation. He uses us to share the invitation with people that Jesus Christ came and he lived a sinless life, and that he went to the cross, and that he suffered and he was beaten and he shed his blood and he died and he was buried, and 3 days later he was resurrected by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, and that he's at the right hand of the Father in heaven now, and he's coming back someday. Amen. And as we preach that and we proclaim that, we put the invitation out there for people to accept that. Those are the called. Those who respond positively and accept and believe are the chosen. The called reject the invitation. They do so willingly. That argument about how could a good God send somebody to heaven or send somebody to hell? He didn't. You did. You did that to yourself. He made everything open and apparent to you. He sent people across your path. He was working on you, the Holy Spirit trying to draw you, and you rejected it. Amen. The chosen enter the kingdom only by invitation and only because the grace of God calling them and drawing them in. Amen. The chosen. That night when I sat here many years ago and heard Reverend Ford Philpott preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I had a decision to make whether I was going to accept the invitation or not. It was all up to me. Right? It was a Tuesday night. I'd sat here Sunday night and Monday night and had not moved. But I kept coming back. And that Tuesday night when he gave that invitation, the whole altar was full up here. Amen? The whole altar was full. People making Jesus the Lord of their life. People rededicating their life. People becoming part of the chosen. Hallelujah. Amen. Salvation, my salvation, your salvation, started as a work of God before the foundation of the world. Amen. God started it, God has upheld it, and God will finish it. Amen. You can rest in that truth. You can find strength and confidence in the fact that we are privileged to partake of the blessings because we've been chosen by God. Not because I said so, but because the Word said so. Amen. It says we are holy and blameless before God. Holy and blameless. God doesn't choose us because we are holy and blameless. He chooses to make us holy and blameless. We don't clean ourselves up to come to God. You ever try that before? Turn over a new leaf. Say, I'm going to try to go to church. Get my act together. It don't last very long. Right? I did it. Didn't work. When we come to Jesus, He cleanses us by the blood of Jesus Christ. He forgives us all of our sins. Amen? He makes us pure. He makes us holy. He makes us blameless. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It has nothing to do with your holiness or lack thereof. It has nothing to do with being perfect or blameless. God said, I didn't choose you because of who you were before or who you could be. I chose you because I wanted to demonstrate my power and my grace in your life so that I would get all the glory. Amen. Amen. God wants to use you to bring glory to His name. Because when people think about, whew, what has happened to them? Say, well, God has intervened in my life. Amen? God has done a work in my life. God has transformed my life. I'm a new creature in Christ now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become as new. I'm on a different path. I'm a different person. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The moment you put your faith in Christ, trusting Him as your Savior and Lord, God declares you positionally holy and blameless. In that very moment, you receive the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:17. You receive the gift of righteousness. You can't earn it. You can't get any more righteous than you are at that point in time. God looks down. One of the spiritual blessings, hallelujah, is that God sees you as holy and He sees you as blameless because you are the righteousness of God. That should get some shouting and amen. God now sees you as He sees Jesus, which means as you stand before God, you are positionally holy and blameless. You are positionally the righteousness of God. And then He begins the process of teaching us practical holiness, what we refer to as sanctification, which is learning to practically live out what is already positionally true in our lives. The righteousness of God, being in right standing of God and with God, should begin. And the knowledge of that and the peace and the comfort and the security that comes of that should begin to manifest itself practically. How you live your life, how you treat other people, how you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, how you treat your kids. Amen? All those things. God says, here's the spiritual blessing. I chose you when you weren't holy and blameless to make you holy and blameless. Hallelujah. Amen. Even while the Holy Spirit works on you, we're all works in progress. Amen. Some of us have had a lot of work done on us. Some of us still have a lot of work left to be done. Amen. It's just the way it is. But God, the spiritual blessings that God chose you, He looked down through eternity. He didn't care how bad you was. He didn't care all those things. He looked down through eternity and He chose you and He said, I'm going to invite them to become a part of my family. I'm going to invite them to become the righteousness of God in Christ. And He laid out the invitation to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll stop there. We'll get into the really good stuff next week. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, Father, for Your word. We thank You that You loved us and You chose us, Lord, and that You see us as holy and blameless in Your sight because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, justifying and redeeming us and opening the way that we can become the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We thank You for that. We praise You for that. And we give You all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.